So, folks, it's a real honor to see you all online this morning again. And thank you sincerely for coming. We certainly appreciate, and so does the Lord, that this, your faithfulness to Him, now a long number of months, on the first day of every week, you have sought to give Him the first place. But we believe the Lord will honor you further on the assembly at Kamloops. Now we're going to read some verses this day from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Just in those last few days, I've been attracted to this chapter, and I'll just pass on one or two simple ideas that we have enjoyed and trust the Lord will edify people. So if you have your Bible open, let me point out to you at least seven things that are open in this particular chapter. Now, we're not going to read all the chapter, we're going to read some verses from it. But before we do so, this is the chapter of open things. Let me point them out to you. See verse number 2 of Luke 24. An open tomb, the stone is rolled away. Open scriptures in verse 27 and 32. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then, of course, their eyes are opened in verse number 31. I take it that's the pair that were had gone the full length of the journey to Emmaus on that first day of the week. Verse 39, open wounds. In the upper room, behold my hands and my feet. Verse 45, open comprehension. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Verse 51, open heaven. He was carried up into heaven and received up and went up. Number 7, open mouths. Verse 53, the chapter finishes with praising and blessing God in the city of Jerusalem. Now, the passage before us, and I'm just going to read a few verses. What has really been on my heart just recently is the road to Emmaus with the Son of Man. That's the message. The road to Emmaus with the Son of Man. And that illustrates for us the Christian pathway as we move from conversion's day to the last step that will be taken in the will of God. So I'm going to read a little from verse 13 onwards of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, please. Chapter 24, verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 30 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? One of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And then, of course, he unfolds the things that happened, and finishing with the resurrection and so on. Now, in answer to that, verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. They constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? That will suffice for our reading. And these are familiar verses that many that read the scriptures appreciate. But it is interesting how the Spirit of God can bring to our attention, brethren and sisters, some different portions of the Bible that really impress us and help us in our Christian pathway. Just one or two wee simple things about, we'll call it the introduction. The key verse in Luke's gospel is in chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I think that Luke surrounds all his content. And everything that he's led by the Spirit to write has to do with the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man. There are several ways you can divide this gospel, but I'll just very quickly give you an overview of what I have just pondered recently. Four simple divisions. First three chapters. It's the introduction of the Son of Man. And just one comment I'll make. Dr. Luke is the one qualified spiritually and physically to give details about the birth and the incoming of our Lord Jesus Christ than any other of the other gospelers. The second division is in chapter 4 to chapter 9. Ministry of the Son of Man. And Luke chapter 4, for example, he opens the scriptures and he reads from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, in the very town, the city, the village where he grew up. And then, of course, from chapter 10 to chapter 19 is the rejection of the Son of Man. Even those in Jerusalem that were so highly favored, he said to them, I would, ye would not. And that brings us to the last section, chapter 20 to 24. It's the crucifixion and resurrection of the Son of Man. That's where our chapter fits. Now again, there are several ways you can divide this chapter, but I'll just give you what I have been enjoying even in recent days this past week. You have your Bible open. Let me just show you that there are four simple divisions to this chapter. The first division is verses 1 to verse 12, and it's the resurrection of the Son of Man. He is not here. He is risen. That's verse 6. The next little section, what we're going to look at, verse 13, verse 35, it's the road to Emmaus, but the Son of Man. There's a tremendous verse there, verse 15. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Didn't recognize him. And then, of course, in verses 36 to 45, we're in the upper room. It's the revelation of the Son of Man. He says, it is I myself. Handle me and see. You remember they thought he was a phantom. But a phantom has not flesh and bones, as he said to them, as you see me have. And then, of course, the closing section, verses 46 to 53, is the recommission of the disciples of the Son of Man. He said to them, you tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then, of course, that introduces Pentecost and all that took place thereafter. So I'm just going to say one or two simple things about this second section, the road to Emmaus with the Son of Man. And let me emphasize again, it's an illustration of the Christian pathway that you and I are on. The moment we started, as has been referred to several times this morning, on the way to heaven, and we're still on that way, and we believe that very soon, it's going to finish and will be in heaven. So I enjoyed it this way. You might maybe look at it different, but I want to just show you that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he went with this pair out those miles to the village there, that he appears, first of all, as the companion of his people. See, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And we'll say something about that in a minute. And then, that's verses 13 to 17. Here's another little section, 18 to 24. He appears as a stranger in a hostile world. Yet, he was very patient with his own. Their eyes were open. They didn't even recognize. And some of the things that they said, they should have understood who it was. But he was the stranger of Galilee. In the next little section, verses 25 and 26, he's a sufferer in the will of God. He explains his pathway, the sufferings of Christ and the glories after these. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? These are very familiar things, but very precious for each of us. This next little section, number 4, verses 27 to 29, he's the teacher of his people, and he expounds the Holy Scriptures to them concerning himself, and even some of the passages that I've been thinking about have already been referred to by more than one of our brethren today. We certainly appreciate that. Then the last little section, verse 30 to 35, that's number 5. He now appears to his own as the host. You see, the couple, they constrained him to come in and have hospitality with them. And when the evening meal was set down, he took over. He was now the host. And he gave thanks as he broke bread. And immediately he understood it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he vanished out of their sight. So we'll say one or two wee things about the Lord Jesus and then make an application to ourselves on the journey of life. So he appears in these first few verses, 13 to 17, He's the companion of his people. They enjoyed his presence. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us? By the way, and that's that famous verse, Jesus drew near and went with them. He knew all about them. Obviously, they didn't know about him, but he was there to encourage them and to teach them, as we'll see. You know, we make now an application for us on the pathway of life. And on the journey to heaven, I think of that verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. I will never leave thee, nor in no wise forsake thee. When we make an application to some dear people that we know in different parts of the world, that in recent times, since this pandemic has come their way, they're really downcast and they need a lift. And it's good to remind us that the Lord Jesus Christ knows all about us and the things that we go through. And it's great to enjoy his presence. He talks with me, he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me, I'm his own. And of course, that statement that is quoted there by the writer in Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave thee, nor in no wise forsake thee. You see, the law of first mention was Jacob when he was at Bethel and he had the dream and God told him that he would not leave him until he brought him back safely to the land of Canaan. And there's all kinds of other references to Joshua and to Solomon and so on. But we want to take it to ourselves. And if somebody today might be feeling lonely, might be discouraged, might wonder what's going to happen in the days ahead, please take this on board. I will never leave thee, nor in no wise forsake thee. So we claim his promise, and it's a tremendous thing, even though there's adversity in our life, possibly, that we can enjoy the divine presence, even singing hymns, even reciting familiar scriptures. The Lord of God, the Lord of heaven, and the Holy Spirit can use it for our edification and comfort. I want to say a little word about this second little section here. You know, verses 18 to 24. He's moving as a stranger in a hostile world. You see, Cleophas does the talking here in chapter 24 in this little section. And he's saying, "Art thou a stranger? Do you not know what's going on?" The Lord Jesus Christ was the recipient of everything that happened. When he didn't seem to perceive, or his partner, who he really was. And you know, he was a stranger. You and I are strangers, pilgrims in the earth. Strangers, we're away from home. Pilgrims, we're going home. As pilgrims and strangers, we plainly declare our home is up yonder, but we ask our friends, will you be there? So we need to remind our hearts that even though we're in the world, we're not off it. We're different. We're not oddities. Don't ever get that into your idea. We're just the same from a human standpoint as our fellow travelers to eternity. But we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. We know our sins forgiven, and Christ is our Savior. And somebody might ask now, how would others know that we are pilgrims and strangers on the earth? Well, they're going to know by our lifestyle. See, the ungodly watch us. They might never say anything, but they watch how we're moving, even in these days, when there are restrictions, and some who are believers from other persuasions, they are not a bit afraid to break these guidelines and do their own thing. The ungodly right away. I've heard them recently saying, well, look what those folk are doing, and they're supposed to be telling us how to live and on our way to heaven. And you know, by our dress, by our conversation, by our companions, by our families, how we conduct our lives, all is very clear to those who are watching. We're on our way to heaven. Heaven is our fatherland. Heaven will be home. We've lived long enough in the world to see that it doesn't matter who the person is. What really convinces these dear souls is the consistency of those who are saved by the grace of God. So the Lord help us to appreciate, even from this passage, some of these points. Now, you know, in verses 25 and 26, he appears to these dear people as a sufferer in the will of God. And he explains it. You see, these people had a Jewish background. And he said to them, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? We remind our hearts that a Jewish mind could always see the glory side of things, but they couldn't understand the sufferings first. And of course, Peter, in his writings, as he learned the same truth, it's the suffering of Christ and the glories after these. So we must understand the teaching of this particular part. You know, Peter, as you all know, in every one of his chapters of his first epistle, he speaks about suffering. And I was just reading chapter 4 here, even today. And you know, he says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. God will always stand by those who put him first until the last step is taken. And you know, even Paul for us has said in another passage, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Right away we think of physical persecution, but there's that attracts others to give people mental persecution and give them a rough time. But it's just what the Lord said to his own in John chapter 16 in the upper room. He says, you know, disciples, they hated me before they hated you. They persecuted me and they'll persecute you. But those dear men likely didn't understand what he was saying. But the early chapters of the book of the Acts, beyond a shadow of a doubt, shows us that they were persecuted and suffered for his name's sake. So we need to have empathy for others who are going through all kinds of travail. I have many stories I could tell you even today that has happened in this province just recently, which would break your heart, but God has allowed it, and by his grace we continue. Here's what has been alluded to already today. This next little section, verses 27 to 29, he now appears as the teacher of his people. He expounds the Holy Scriptures. No one could do it like him. And this is why sometimes I wonder, these dear people, as he expounded the Old Testament Scriptures to them, and they were likely from the Jewish community, it didn't seem to pass, but the one that was teaching them was the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of these passages would allude to him. You know, there are many passages in the Old Testament that are direct references to the Lord Jesus. Like, for example, Genesis 22. Maybe he said to them, see that ram that was caught in the thicket by his horns? That's just a picture of me, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And he would describe to them what happened at the cross. And as we have heard from Exodus chapter 12, the lamb that was selected, that was scrutinized and slain, was he would maybe say to them, all of those things refer to the Son of God. And here he is talking to them. And they really appreciated the roast lamb on that occasion as they went out as pilgrims and strangers. So it's very, very important for us to read the scriptures and see whatever passage we're in, how they refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Psalms, for example, the Messianic Psalms we've been dealing with recently, are all tremendous passages that expound to our appreciation and understanding the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ, his person, his pathway, and his passion, and then the prospect that he's coming soon for us. So, a wee simple word, we need to have priority in our lives. Now, I understand that there's big changes in some people's lives. Some are busier now than ever. Others have more time in their hands. But it's a tremendous opportunity to just consistently read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation and to enjoy the Holy Scriptures of truth. People ask all the time, how do these thoughts come? Well, every one of us are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and if we have a keen desire, we can read the Scriptures and they open to our understanding, and then we can meditate on these as well. Some of the greatest thoughts that we have ever had are of meditation. And I want to just say a little word here now about the closing part. Coming to the end of this journey, the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem, and the evening has come, the day is far spent. These people invite him as a guest into their home, hospitality. But it is interesting that he appears as the host. The guest becomes the host. And the breaking of bread, he breaks the bread, he gives thanks for it. I'm going to suggest to you, this is not the Lord's Supper. Any reference in the New Testament to the Lord's Supper is always linked with an assembly. Acts 2, for example, and Acts chapter 20, and 1 Corinthians 11, and all the rest of it. So it would seem that this was just an ordinary meal. But the point is, they likely recognized the wounds in his hands. And as soon as their eyes were opened, he vanished out of their sight. Tremendous. You know, that verse we have already quoted. As soon as they knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ, they knew he was raised from the dead. And as they review the journey on this occasion, first day of the week, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us? By the way, and so they bring the circumstances that they have been through, and they talk about it, and they appreciate that the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. There are different illustrations of this as far as our lives are concerned. You see, I was reading Romans chapter 8 today. All things work together for good. For them that love God, for them that are called according to his purpose. Now, I understand the interpretation, but at least in application, there are things that happen along the pathway of life, and we are convinced that these are the facts. Now, you think of Jacob, for example. Remember the brothers, the sons, they killed the goat, they dipped Joseph's coat of many colors in the blood. They brought it to the father and they said, "Is this your son's coat or no?" And Jacob thought, I said, "Joseph is slain. Some evil beast has devoured him." Roll the clock around for another maybe 30 years. And one day, outside his front door in the land of Canaan, are the chariots from Egypt, full of goods, and a message from Joseph come down to the land of Goshen. The dear man couldn't believe it. He was confused. But if you read chapter 46 of Genesis, you'll find out that the Lord appeared to him during the night and confirmed that Joseph was yet alive. And it must have been a tremendous moment when he met him after all those years, the father and the son. So all things work together for our good, at least in application. And we leave these things to the God of heaven to direct us along the way and instruct us in every way possible. I was reading today another hymn in the Believer's Hymn Book there, John Nelson Derby's hymn, "This World is a Wilderness Wide." I had thought of this verse, I'll just read it to you. "The path where my Savior has gone, I'm thinking of journeys and the pathway of life, has led up to his Father and God, to the place where he's now on the throne, and his strength shall be mine on the road. Take comfort, take courage. The worst that can happen will just shorten the journey and hasten us home." So the Lord bless his word. We thank God for the record that Luke gave us here in these verses, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, and the little sections in there. And I have called it the journey or the road to the village and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, brings us right to the very point where these dear people understood in the workings of God with them. So the Lord appears to us as the companion of his people, as he did to these folk in Emmaus. He appears as a stranger in a hostile world. How true that is for us. As the sufferer in the will of God, suffering first and glory next. As the teacher of his people, he's the greatest teacher the world has ever known. But the gift of teaching, according to Ephesians 4, there are those among us in every country that God has given the gift of teaching to unfold divine things to us. And then, of course, a tremendous thing to think of, the one that was the guest turns to be the host. And right away, you think of Psalm 23, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." So the Lord stir our hearts to live for him. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your good attention. And what we're saying is very simple and to the point, but I do trust timely for our conditions.